Thanks for listening to the Roman Circus podcast, a podcast that is back. I'm Matt Baker, and with me is the Ken of this podcast, Zach Mabry. Zach, how are you, my friend?
I am Kenuff. I'm Kenuff, keeping the Kenergy up.
The Kenergy. I haven't talked to you for 2 years, but so let's get that out of the way really quick before we move on.
That's true. It has been, what, 2 years?
Officially? Yeah. 2 years and 3 days. You can find us wherever podcasts are. Now this podcast will be there too. If you want to email us about anything, podcast@romancircusblog.com. Remember the blog? That was good. It was 2 years later.
Oh yeah. All those posts. So 2 years.
Yeah.
In the past two years, you must be married by now.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably bought your dream house.
Go on. Oh, dream house Barbie. I like it.
There we go. Yeah. I actually wasn't even thinking that, but so
what
yeah,
else?
Tell us all about
what else? What else? No, tell me what else, what other expectations you have for me.
Surely by now, you know, I mean, married, of course.
Yeah, sure.
You know, probably in the C-suite, CEO of a company.
Of course, yeah, go on.
Probably in the Fortune, not 100, that's more when you reach in your 50s, but Fortune 500,
surely. Surely.
Dual citizenship with some other nation.
Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of that's happened, Zach. Basically, just the same, just sitting here the same way I would have 2 years ago. Not at the computer's changed, but the mat stayed the same. What about you? Any of that stuff on your end?
No, none of it.
Okay.
Not at all.
Actually, Zach and I did see each other a few months ago in Washington, D.C.
Yes, our nation's capital.
Yeah, that was great. The boys were back in D.C., and that's Indeed. About it. What a Zach. Hey, Zach, what's in the news?
What's in the news? That really takes me back. What is in the news? Probably something about Ukraine.
We're giving
that's
a lot of money
news.
to Ukraine.
Oh, yeah. Wayne Brady.
Mm-hmm. Heard of him.
Bought a hat that he wore. has announced himself to be pansexual.
Okay.
Which is just kind of the snobby way of being bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
It just means, but you know, you're not endorsing a binary.
Yeah.
When you say pan.
Yeah.
So just the whole.
You're endorsing
he,
a pan.
Her. They, all the as Rihanna says, all the pronouns.
Is that what Rihanna says? Man, it feels good to
yes.
be back. I haven't had a this is what Rihanna says update in a long, long time.
It was a while back. She was announcing some kind of like fashion line thing, and she's like, and this stuff is perfect for men, for women, for all. She said all gender. Gender appropriations and non-binary, all the pronouns. So it's a pretty funny quote on Instagram. But she
non-binary.
Yeah, she, well, non-binary, but with her
non-binary.
Caribbean accent, it came off as non-binary, like she had Rihanna way of saying it. So, but I mostly because she said gender appropriations. That was what was kind of funny because I think she meant you know maybe expressions or identities, but. The word that came to her in that moment was appropriations. So
there's just so many words, Zach. How can we keep up these days?
I'm telling you.
Two years ago when we last did this podcast, there weren't that many words.
No. There's been a lot of development in that area.
In the word area.
For sure. They're just cranking out new words. Well, and also since we started, you have to say all the countries in their own way of saying it. So like Turkey is spelled all weird.
And, oh, is it? I didn't see this.
Oh, yeah. It's got squigglies and dots over the letters. And I mean, I'm just going to keep saying Turkey. But similar to like we had to redo Kyiv and Kiev and all that stuff. So it's spreading, you know, around that you can't just call the countries, the English word for the countries. You've got to...
The rule should be, if we're funding your entire military operation and way of life, we should be able to say it however we want.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, but I also... So they're talking about putting in these visa rules for going to Europe, where you have to go online and do a form before you can go, instead of just having your U.S. passport. And I'm like, right. I really think that the rule should be, if you're in NATO and we're defending you, that you can't do that. And if you want to do that stuff, we just feed you to Russia. But because, I mean, I don't want to fill out a form.
Why would we want to fill out a form?
Yeah, that's not my thing. So, but no one knows if that's actually going to go into effect.
I think hundreds of billions of dollars pays for enough forms, Zach. I don't know the going price of paper these days, but.
Yeah, I'm like, the only pass I need to go into your country is called the Second Amendment. No, but we'll see.
I don't think that works disruptive. In this situation, but I like it.
True. It'll be very disruptive to my lifestyle if you have to fill out a form and wait for it to be approved just to go to Europe and drink your little coffees. So yeah. we'll see what happens there. Also, the Queen of Nice, the reigning herself, Lizzo, is canceled. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about this, Matt?
I heard about this. You'll have to fill me in, but she prides herself on body positivity, but she was not so body positive. Well, actually, listener alert, she was not body positive towards women on her dance crew, but she was trying to be body positive by taking these women into the club and making them touch other people or something.
Yeah. There's like two kind of quadrants in this, in the complaint against Lizzo. So the first is stuff to do with the tour, saying that she was too demanding and she made everybody, she accused them of being drunk and that's why they were bad at performing. And so she made them all like retry out and go through these grueling rehearsals. And then I guess one of the dancers started to put on weight and there were comments made. I don't know if it says they were made by her or not, but basically saying like, you know, you can't, you know, get fat during the tour. Yeah. You've got to stick it out. And then
there's tour body. And then there's, a normal body. What is it? Right. A civilian body.
Civilian. Yeah, exactly. It's like home and away jerseys. So and then a person alleged, in addition to having negative comments about gaining weight, they spoke up about having an eating disorder and were dismissed from the tour. The thing there, though, again, like, when you're performing, your body is part of it. And if you were hired with a certain look, you do have to maintain. I mean, it's not, there's songs about this. There's no business like show business. It's a little different than if you're just doing spreadsheets. But then specifically the eating disorder thing, it's very dangerous to have an eating disorder and be in a physically demanding role like being on a tour. So, I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily retaliation.
You're saying Lizzo was acting out of love. She was just concerned.
I mean, I don't even know. Who knows if she even knows this stuff happened? I mean, it's not like Lizzo's sitting there like, okay, I've terminated you in the payroll system and you're going to get your direct deposit tomorrow. I mean, she's the talent on these things.
Lizzo's CPA.
Yeah, I mean, right. Like, who knows how involved she is with any of this? So, I mean, that stuff, a world tour is really demanding, and it's similar to with Ellen, you know, TV's hard. I don't know that you have to always be bubbly behind the scenes.
These shows, like these, it's one thing to have like a Metallica where it's just four dudes rocking on stage, right? But like these Lizzo shows and Taylor Swift and all the, they're such performances with like costume changes and banners and dance. It really is like, there's so many people involved. So there's got to be like, what, 10 layers of people before they even get to Lizzo. So along the way, I'm sure three people were probably like, listen, you're fat and stupid and ugly. You need to fix that so we can perform for the people of Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, right. I just have trouble thinking that she was there. So there's that side of it. And I mean, and I never say these things. I don't want to sound like a libtard, but I can't imagine this criticism being made of a male performer. I think if you talked about this and you said, this was Michael Jackson or somebody, and you're like, oh, and you know, he was not pleased with the performances. He made everybody basically re-audition, and they had this 12-hour practice to get until he was happy with it. It would be in a documentary where you'd be like, ah, oh, what a legend. How great to have worked with them. I can't see this actually being a negative if we were talking about somebody else.
To be fair, the criticisms of male performers like Chris Brown are different criticisms. They come under fire for completely different reasons. So
sure. But I mean, I feel like people are being harder on Lizzo than they were on Chris Brown.
Well, she's such an easy target. Like, I mean, nothing blogs love more than like the appearance of hypocrisy, right? Whether or not it is hypocrisy.
Yeah, well, right. And we know this as Catholics. Everyone's obsessed with other people being hypocrites. And it's like, but I mean, at the same time, when you set yourself up as sort of the nice person, this happened with Rosie O'Donnell. Because when she had her talk show, she was the queen of nice. And if she did say anything negative, everyone freaked out. And then when she went on The View and she was the kind of angry whatever, that
when
was
she
a
may
big
or may not have justifiably pointed out something about steel beams not melting. Anyway,
I love that. I love the clips of Rosie O'Donnell doing 9/11 trutherism on The View. It's great. It's on YouTube, everyone. So,
well,
I mean,
it's
some
just
of
the
it
thing,
just,
right? Like appearance, like it's the show business stuff. Like you, like Ellen is only successful because Ellen appears to be like super nice and super friendly, right? Like if Ellen allegedly in real life is mean, if she were to go on TV and be mean, that would have been a disaster, right?
Sure.
So like of course these people are different than they are in real life.
Well, and it's really draining, I think, to host a talk show like with Ellen specifically. I mean, it's not podcasting, but it does take a lot of energy to do.
It is true.
Some of the stuff on that, like you weren't allowed to talk to her on show day or whatever. I mean, yeah, she has to go be on camera. You're like taking from the specific energy pot that she needs from. You're not, I mean, do you go up to astronauts on launch day and start asking them mechanic questions and fixing your car? I mean, you just don't do that. So it doesn't make sense. Yeah. I mean, all that stuff. Cause I had my reasons. I wasn't a huge Ellen fan by the end, but when she did get canceled for the behind the scenes stuff, I had to kind of defend her. I mean, cause that was dumb. So the stuff about backstage at the tour, it just doesn't really fly with me. The rest of the stuff is alleged behavior that happened when her dancers and her were at a strip club. And I mean, again, at the point, and I mean, if you're coerced into going to the strip club with your boss, I guess that's something. But I don't think you get to call HR for stuff that happened when you went to the strip club with your boss.
Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, there is the idea that Lizzo is still the boss. So these people feel slightly compelled to go make the boss happy, right? Like there is some like power dynamic thing at play.
Yeah.
But at the same
time,
like at the same time, it's a strip club. So you're, like, what are you complaining about happened at the strip club, right?
Well, and that's what doesn't even, I mean, what are the lines at the point that you're at a strip club? And they're also performers. And then somebody else pointed out, most of all these things are things that she sings about in her song. Like, I'm surprised if you look through her albums, there's not a song like, I took my dancers to the strip club. And so, the specifics are unpleasant. I just don't understand. When they're talking about they felt pressured to do something, I mean, I don't know. You're someone who doesn't drink alcohol. Do you feel like every so often people are like, take a shot? And have you ever just caved because you couldn't control yourself and somebody's trying to get you to take a shot of Patron?
I mean, no. Like, you have to be a little bit...
famous people. Like, has any famous person ever forced you to go against your morals?
No, because you have to be a little bit of a jerk to make it through like college and all this stuff without drinking. Like, it's not, you have to like have to be a little stubborn. So like people just kind of they just kind of leave you alone after about 5 seconds of realizing that's how you roll, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not, you don't, and you're just like, no, I'm not gonna. And they're just like, all right, more for me, you know, or whatever people say in that situation.
Right.
I don't think Lizzo would have been like more strip club for me, but.
Well, none of this is anywhere on the level of like Charlie Sheen. I mean, you're going and you're partying overseas at a strip club with one of the most famous people on the planet. I mean, I don't I'm tapped out of sympathy at this point. Like you're literally, there's people that dream about, you know, being forced to motorboat a stripper by Lizzo. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's not.
Not that, this is not anything we endorse and we are fully against, no, obviously. No, this
isn't a reason to cancel someone. This doesn't change my perception of Lizzo. I don't think it contradicts how she holds herself out publicly. It's just people, I think people just want to cash in. And then because there's this public obsession with other people being hypocrites, doing it to Lizzo, who, you know, is, her music is positive music. She talks about that when she won her Grammy, putting out positive music. It's fun, you know, that kind of stuff. So she makes it an easy target.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm team Lizzo. It's really important to defend Lizzo.
Feels good to be back, Zach.
It does. So we should probably address the other elephant in the room. If people listen to the intro to the podcast, they may have noticed a slightly different tag coming in from what used to be said, where we introduced ourselves, you know, and the content of this podcast as being about Catholic culture, tradition, history, things like that. And that was intentional. We are, as we're back, kind of shifting the tone and focus and framing of the podcast. I think this had started to happen with the topics that we were selecting, you know, the whole last year that we were recording before the hiatus. So it's really not going to be a huge shift in what we're doing, but it is a shift in our intentions and our framing of the podcast go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that our last episode was 2 years and 3 days ago, and we had done like 3 episodes within 4 months then. So we were already kind of like trying to figure it out. And the problem is it has nothing to do with Catholicism as the religion. Like we still go to mass and still like feel probably better about it than ever. But the problem is just the rest of this stuff of like, it got hard to talk about the church for a myriad of reasons. And it's kind of nice that we stopped when we did, because soon after we stopped was when the stuff with the Latin Mass really kicked off. What was it called? I was going to say Summorum Pontificum, but that's the opposite one.
No,
so it would have been just like, it would have just been like really tough to talk about, and it wouldn't have, there would have been nothing in it that would have helped our like mental states, just breaking this thing down weekly. And you even see it like people, not to name anybody, you know how they always say, I'm not saying anything, but if you get offended, then we're probably talking about you. You know, that old thing.
Sure. I don't think I've heard that, but I buy it. I feel it.
So like, it's not good for the mental health of a lot of people. And it probably wouldn't have been good for the mental health of us to like come back week after week to like talk about all the stuff in the church that we don't like or we think should change, or like it's one thing to be aware of what's going on. It's another thing to just like be in the foxhole I purposely like put yourself in a foxhole of a war that you don't need to wage, I guess is what I'm saying. Like it, so having the podcast is always something we wanted to do, and we wanted to bring it back, but we wanted to bring it back to a point where we could actually enjoy talking to each other and enjoy talking about things. And we'll even talk about Catholic stuff and have Catholic guests on. It just got a little hard to like sit down week to week and figure out what we were going to talk about specifically about the church. So
yeah,
if we kind of take if we take that away and discuss it when we want to discuss it, it seems like it'll be easier for us and more fun in general.
Yep.
If there's something intense we need to talk about, we could still talk about it. It's just the difference between talking and enjoying it and like feeling like we have to do weekly content because Pope Francis is one day he like did like this one random thing in a Rome coffee shop or so, I don't know, whatever he does. He said whenever he talks on a plane, he loves talking on planes, and we just don't care to cover. We just don't care to like talk about it.
Yeah. Setting yourself up to need an hour of stuff to talk about with the church every single week is difficult. And you kind of watch the trajectory of other projects that started out maybe similar to ours or with similar aims. And a lot of them, it gets dark. It gets repetitive. It's, you know, it's not fun, and we wanted it to be fun. I guess we were the Lizzo of Latin Mass podcasts, and there wasn't really a way to put a positive spin on the circumstances of 2021. So we went on hiatus, and yeah, I think we're back. Like I said, our content was always a mix of Catholic content and then the cultural stuff. And so we'll keep pumping out a mix, we're still Catholic. The podcast itself is a podcast, so not eligible for baptism anyway. So we will carry on as the Roman Circus podcast going forward.
Yeah, we sat upstairs in that pizza shop in DC called We the Pizza.
We the Pizza.
And we were like, should we bring this thing back? And then in true Roman Circus fashion, about 4 months went by, and we're like, all right, time to bring it back.
Oh, that but was good. Fun. I remember going outside We the Pizza, and this homeless guy came up to me, and I didn't know if he wanted to kill me, but he actually just wanted cigarettes, and so I gave him a cigarette because it's important mm-hmm. to always give strangers cigarettes if they ask. And for I mean, we don't – I know we just said we're not a Catholic podcast. We still don't believe in karma, of course, but it's just good. It's good to just put that out there and pay it forward in that way.
Yeah.
So, right. So, we're back.
With that, well, as we're getting back into it, like we want to keep trying to do weekly stuff too, but like if, I don't know, the whole point of this is we want it to be fun and we don't want to force it as far as anything goes. So, you know.
Exactly.
You agree, Zach?
A lot of people get in trouble from forcing things. And so we're going to be a consent focus, consent based, choosing, I don't know what you call it, but yeah, that said, mm-hmm. I know we said, oh, we're not, but, so World Youth Day, did you go, Matt?
No, I don't know if that's a place that I should, I don't know. What's the age limit?
There's not one.
How old is it?
Seriously, people, I feel like the average age has to be 30. There's definitely not an age cap. There's fully people in their 40s there as participants, ooh, not as nice. Like facilitators. So, I mean, there's a couple, like the world part, sure, people come from all over. The youth part, questionable. And then the day, I mean, it's blatantly multiple days. So there's a lot of varying degrees of truth in that description. But I've never been, I didn't see the actual out. People always get mad about World Youth Day. I didn't see the mm-hmm. actual, I didn't see any of the actual stuff from it or the outrage. I just saw the response to the outrage. I don't know how I'm that removed from it algorithmically, because I don't mm-hmm. I don't have anybody blocked or muted on Twitter, but
thank you.
Quick legal note, the company known as Twitter has rebranded as X, and X is the intellectual, no, I'm just kidding. The people were mad. I guess they were transporting the Eucharist in Tupperware containers.
Those giant gray tubs.
I gotta say though, Tupperware is pretty quality stuff. Like I've thought about having a Tupperware party up in here for a while. Mm. So I'm not gonna knock it. A lot of them, I mean, you know, and they've removed a lot of the toxins, you know, BPA and stuff. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe they got a good, but so there was outrage. The outdoor masses are always, and I mean, if you're still, you still have outrage left to give at these things, you may need to go to therapy or something. I don't know. I mean, it happened exactly like it was always going to happen, exactly like the previous World Youth Days. I mean, and the ones in the 90s were even crazier. So, I mean, they had plays in the 90s of The Passion with like women and clowns playing. I mean, it's, you just,
yeah,
I don't know, guys, you got to move on. But it's, you know, it's out there. I went to the Sharp pilgrimage in May. I went to the large outdoor masses.
World Trad Day.
Yeah. So we had outdoor masses. They're pretty tough logistically. It gets really hot. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of them because you're like melting and whatnot. We only had, I think, like 18,000 people compared to what, a million or something at World Youth Day. It's still really challenging logistically. Just think about how many, I mean, prior to consecration, how many wafers that is and just getting them all there. And I mean,
it was, they said that like a million people go to this mass, right? Like some absurd amount of people.
Yeah. That doesn't sound enjoyable at all, regardless of what liturgy is being, like, I just would rather go to
it. I mean, well, what's the difference? What's the benefit of having one giant million person mass versus just a bunch of masses going on, right? Like, is it, Optics are just like cool.
I guess the idea is it's just this gigantic shared experience of worship. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not here to knock it, but it it happened. There didn't actually seem to be any weird mic drop moments. You know, as much as everybody says that the airplane interviews and stuff, like nothing really came out of that. So probably tamer than other World Youth Days as far as it goes. But
yeah,
again, a lot of people, they make their money on outrage, and so they had to find something, and so it was photos of Rubbermaid boxes being used to transport unconsecrated hosts.
I mean the pictures aren't great though. I mean, it's not like a day.
It's stupid by design. Like, how is that? I mean, how are you?
but I'm saying is it just, for at first glance, like, it just looks weird to see people, you know, doing benediction in front of like three plastic tubs.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, again, it's not a place you'd find me.
Yeah, I guess the podcast has such low expectations for World Youth Day anyway, right? So
I do remember one of the blogs did this whole special about like all these photos of people smoking weed at World Youth Day and stuff. I don't even know if any of it was true or if they were just being outraged, but it was kind of funny to see. So, but again,
I mean, with a million people, I'm sure there are people doing anything you can imagine at World Youth Day.
I mean, you'd have to, because imagine how long that mass is without just like chewing a gummy or something. I don't know. The other thing is that people do, I mean, I don't know, people have fun at these events, and you just, it's never really the right moment to be critical when other people are having fun. You always come off as the bad guy. So it's the same with the Steubenville conferences every year. Things like that. Like, people will see things and it's like, okay, but that, I don't know.
The Steubenville thing was insane, or whatever the latest one was, where all the people you would expect saw the like pictures of Father Mike Schmitz and Bishop Barron, or just like the church, this is the way the church is going, like these right wing something or others. And I'm just like, man, it's just so boring. Like Father Josh Johnson,
I like how they code Bishop Barron and Mike Schmitz as right wing, just because they hit their macros every day and probably see the inside of a gym a few times a month. Like, that's basically the extent of how right wing they are, is that they're not like fat and like pale and looking. I mean, it really does come down to that. It's just that they look put together and trim. The things that they say are not noticeably different than the things that you hear most priests of their age group saying. It is literally a thing of like being presentable is something that a certain group of Catholics will always call basically fascism. So
yeah,
sorry we didn't find the ugliest theologians we could find to talk about some sort of weird tedious point about encountering each other or synods or something. I mean, it's dumb.
It just seemed like Father Mike Schmitz is the happiest person ever, and when you listen to him, you can't help but just love the faith and think Jesus is great. Like it feels like exactly what needs to happen, as opposed to like, I don't know, like you said, finding some random thing. And they're just mad because Father Mike Schmitz went on Ben Shapiro's show once, or like has gone on like some of those other places just to talk about faith or whatever, you know. Same with Bishop Barron. Bishop Barron loves Jordan Peterson, so that's another
thing
for another time.
Which is embarrassing, but it's not necessarily alarming.
Yeah.
So, you know, good times. So the strike's
great
happening.
Times.
Are you part of SAG?
No, I am not. That's why we need you to fill us in, a one-time member of SAG.
I couldn't remember. Yeah, I couldn't remember if you'd been part of it or if you'd qualified or not. I don't actually know exactly how you qualify. So I knew you'd been around. You'd at least parked a lot of cars for very famous people. So I thought maybe.
Basically, back when I was out there, you had to get a certain number of like, I forget what they would call them, like credits or something, and then you could qualify, or you could just be Taff Hartley'd in by, oh, we really need this person to perform this specific role, so we need them in the union right now. So it was either you like put in the work or you just knew a person. And I one of my friends did a short film that I wasn't able to be in, and I would have qualified for SAG if I was in that. But I was not in it.
Maybe next year will be the year.
Mm-hmm.
So with SAG strike,
how long were you in SAG? When was your?
So I'm still in SAG technically. I became a member when I was 4 with the Little Rascals. Mm-hmm. I stayed an active member until 2013, and then I went on like the pause thing. So
so you paid your SAG dues until 2013.
Yeah, and even since then, I still have to pay a small amount, but it's reduced. And when you're on what I'm on, you still pay a small amount, and but you can't act until you reactivate, basically, and you don't get a vote in the SAG Awards. There's a couple things you don't get, but you're still bound by the rules. You don't have to pay as much. It's a lot less. It's I think it's like $20 a year versus a few hundred. And so I wasn't doing anything with it, obviously, so I went on pause. But yeah, as an inactive member, I couldn't. You know, I can't act at all as an inactive member, but you're also bound by any kind of strike.
I say this, it sounds like a joke, but I'm being kind of serious. I'm surprised you haven't just kept paying your dues just so you could vote in the SAG Awards. That seems like a thing that you would want to do.
I'm planning to do that this year. I'm going to re-up. I dropped it, I had just left college and moved to Dallas, and I had rent for the first time. And I was like, I can't be paying. I need to keep this money. So I probably will reactivate so I can vote in the awards going forward. And you get the free screeners and stuff. It's pretty fun. So I'm planning to do that. Right. And we'll, you know, I'm sure we'll do an episode about it as it gets close. I'll announce my ballot for this year when it comes. But yeah, the strike is ongoing. The writers and the actors are on strike. And it's not just a strike for acting. It's also a strike for promoting completed projects. So it's been an interesting, you know, once the strike, it went into effect on July 14th, and that was during the official premiere of Oppenheimer. So at midnight, all of the actors stood up and left. And some people criticize that as dramatic, but that is literally the rule of what they had to promote the movie. So they had to go. And then as soon as the strike stopped, they had to leave. They couldn't have skipped altogether. They couldn't have stayed till the end. And that's where you can tell that people on Twitter, especially the Twitter leftists, don't have any concept of organized labor, because there's rules to all of this and there's a structure and the unions are very on top of it. So for instance, Greta Gerwig did a promotional appearance for Barbie, and it wasn't a big thing. She just showed up at Alamo Drafthouse and did this whole thing, and people were calling her a scab. But Greta Gerwig is she was the director of Barbie, and she's a member of DGA, the Directors Guild. They reached a contract in June, and their contract specifies that they cannot strike for other unions. So if she has an obligation as a director to do something and she doesn't do it out of solidarity to actors and writers, they can just fire her. Or if it's a contract, they could sue her for breach of contract and the union will not defend her. They've said the director's union has said, we reached our contract. If you're not willing to cross the picket lines to continue work, you can be fired and you can be sued if you had a personal services contract and it's breach of contract. And further, Greta actually checked, because she also wrote for the movie, so she had a writer's credit. She actually cleared it with WGA to do the limited promotion that she's done. But you still have people on Twitter calling her a scab. And, you know, I had an exchange with somebody that was bringing it up. And it was like, there's rules to all of this. There's contractors. It's this huge sort of web. And being a scab means you're performing services in place of somebody that's unionized to do that service.
Yeah, it would be like if, I don't know, what's a TV show that, like if Succession was still going on and they striked and they got you to play the role of Kendall Roy.
Yeah.
Or it wouldn't even be you, because, or yeah, it
could be anybody.
Or it would be me. I'm not even in the union, right? Like,
right.
Yeah.
That's scabbing. The other concept in these strikes is called crossing the picket line. And so that's where, you know, let's just say there's a strike at your local grocery store and the stock boys are out picketing and you pass through them into the store to go shopping. That's crossing the picket line. It's frowned upon for a reason, because you should be in solidarity. Yeah. But it's not the same thing as scabbing, and there's certain times where you have to cross a picket line. For instance, if you're part of a different union that's not striking, or if you're not in a union or whatever. I mean, it's,
but the SAG and the WGA would be fully aware of Greta Gerwig's responsibilities and like understand it, right? She's in that role as a director. So it's not, she's not sending a statement.
You can't
she's
break these things.
Doing what she needs to do.
I mean, Meryl Streep couldn't scab or violate a strike and continue acting. Like that's not how it works in this particular industry. You don't have a lot of other highly unionized workforces in America. So I know people aren't familiar with it, but it's impossible that somebody of Greta Gerwig's status would ever violate she's a member of all three unions. She would never violate any of them. There's no path for that. I mean, again, you can be as famous as you want. You can't break these rules. It's not done. And I mean, it'd be the end. There's nobody that's famous enough to be able to break these things and continue working. And so it's been funny seeing everyone yell and scream. And it was similar. It's mostly been at directors, because they've been ones that have still been at premieres and doing things. But then also you had things like The Chosen, which is heinous, and I would never imagine watching it, but they got a waiver.
I'm in season two. I'm in season two of it, Zach. I'm watching it, so you don't have to.
Yeah, I never. I'd rather be fat.
I'll break it down for you.
Have to watch that.
I'll break it all down on the podcast. But let me just say this: Protestant Jesus got jokes.
Oh, good. He's funny. That's great.
Yeah. He's got jokes.
So The Chosen got a waiver from SAG to continue shooting, and so they continued shooting, and that's not
such a Protestant thing, am I right, sure, folks?
Yeah. But it's just, well, sorry. No, it's an indulgence. They got an indulgence. They bought it, right? But it's just funny, because again, that's not scabbing. They got permission from the union. It's the union who decides if you're a scab. They got permission from them, but also they agreed in advance to whatever the contract ends up being. They're going to have to pay it, and they've agreed in advance to whatever the contract ends up being. So that's a pretty bold move, and it doesn't. I mean, you can criticize that it's a stupid project, but they're not causing problems from a labor standpoint. And then not everything is.
Yeah, there's no.
What?
I was going to say that those are all union actors, so they're not going to risk their career for this project, right? So like whatever they're doing is going to be,
I mean,
in
I think you're risking your career if you're in this project, but not right. They're not going to risk if you're sanctioned by the unions, it's in, you're not working anymore. So
So it's like you said, it's a good thing that adults are running this and not just the random people crying on Twitter. They don't like you. What it's like, they hear of Bernie Sanders once, and then all of a sudden they think they know everything about unions or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, their so-called leftism is their whole personality, and then they don't have a basic understanding of organized labor. It doesn't make sense, but it was pretty rampant on Twitter. And the other thing is, not everything is struck. Like, daytime serials can still film. So General Hospitals, still go act on General Hospital if you want. None of that. And again, if the contract isn't struck, it's not scabbing to follow it. It's not spring break. You know, it's not every strike is a general strike where you're just nobody's supposed to work. And also, strikes aren't boycotts. Mm-hmm. So going to movies is not violating the strike or even the spirit of a strike. If AMC workers were on strike, yeah, that would be rough if you're going to movies while their workers are striking. That's crossing the picket line in the literal sense. But that's not what's happening, and nobody's even asking people to stop going to movies. There was
they can do student films too. Yeah. I saw a thing where they said, like, if you're a student film and you've wanted to get these actors, like, now's the time to shoot your shot.
And there are studios that have reached agreements. So A24 is one, and they've had a couple movies out this year. Mm. And so the other thing that SAG put out, because we're in uncharted territory, there's not been an actor strike in decades, and there was no internet when that happened. So promotion isn't just going to premieres and events and stuff. It's also online. And so they put out guidelines for influencers. And the other thing on that is that influencers are also part of SAG now. You can join SAG through some sort of formula as an influencer. But once you're in it, you're just a SAG member. Yes, maybe you qualified as an influencer, but you're not a special class of SAG members. So what they said is that the influencers the influencer contract that exists is not struck. So anybody that had contracts to promote films online as an influencer who's part of SAG has to continue to honor those contracts. But they said they do not want influencers taking new contracts for struck work or otherwise promoting these projects. And they were somewhat vague in their pronouncements. They basically just said, you shouldn't engage with... Influencers should not engage with struck projects even in the capacity as a fan through organic posting. And then they reminded people that if you have performed covered services during a strike and you want to join SAG, you will not be considered for membership. So they were basically saying, you know, we don't want you generating buzz about movies if you're an influencer and you want to work in this town. And that was kind of fun because the studios are saying, you know, you can work one day and we'll pay you whatever scale is now. And we can use your likeness for, you know, infinity AI movies forever. So for SAG to basically be like, okay, well, if you post about movies, you'll never work in this town again. You know, it's funny for the wants to have the overreach or the kind of the bold pronouncement come from the labor side. I haven't heard much about it. I don't think that they're saying nobody can talk about movies or whatever. I was briefly worried I shouldn't be logging my Letterboxd views when I go to see movies, but the gist of it is that there is a strike. You want to, you know, take your directions from the union, and hopefully the strike ends, but who knows? And it's going to delay certain projects. They've said Dune isn't going to come out if the strike doesn't end. There's a few others that are delayed. They delayed the primetime Emmys or the daytime Emmys. One of the Emmys.
What about our greatest national resource, the late night talk show?
What's up with those? I don't watch those anymore. I don't know. Because I remember back during the big writer strike, what was it, 2009?
Yeah, 7, 8, somewhere in there.
Yeah, whenever that was, that David Letterman was able to keep going because he owns his own company and he reached an agreement, but all the others were off. And then at some point, there was something about crossing the picket lines, and I think they went back off air. I don't remember. But I don't know. We'll see. It's to have both groups on strike is pretty crazy because really nothing can happen. So I don't know. Maybe they'll run out of movies. There's a lot of important movies I've never watched. So if they do run out of movies and the theaters start playing the hits, it's like I could finally see Pulp Fiction.
Never seen Pulp Fiction.
And it's become like a joke because I keep thinking to watch it because I obviously should have seen it because I like watching movies, but I still haven't. So I need to see movies in theaters because you really can't use your phone during theaters. Like, you can send a quick text, but like, you're not supposed to if people look at you and stuff. I don't think I can sit. I'm not very good at watching movies otherwise. If I'm at home, I'm going to start texting. I'm going to miss something. I'm going to rewind it. I'm going to miss it again. I'm going to rewind it again. I'm just going to give up. You know, it's just too hard.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, that's a great strike update.
Yes. Important strikes. Well, I think it was good to let everyone know that we're back and to expect more content from us. And that while we support the actors and the writers on strike, we are back to work at Roman Circus Industries.
Exactly. We always pick the time that people are striking to get back to work. And then when they're not striking, we go off work.
Right. We always do that. We've done that a lot of times and not just this time.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, we had some technical difficulties, so we have to cut this one a little bit short, but it feels good to be back. It's crazy to, not have podcasted for 2 years just in general. So we'll get some more quality nonsense and we'll join you again. We'll have some interviews. We'll have good interviews, Catholic and otherwise, coming up, which will be fun. But anything else?
Since we're not a Catholic podcast anymore, do we do like sinner of the week, or do we just wrap it up and tell everybody goodbye?
Just the normal person of the week, where we just pick a completely normal person and talk about how normal they are.
If you can find one.
Ooh, that is true. Won't find any of them online. All right. Well, thanks for joining us again after 2 years, and hope to see you back around here. Until next time.
See ya.